Welcome to the Global Black Caucus Power to the People podcast. I'm Angela Fobbs, the chair of the Global Black Caucus, and there are 8 days left to vote.
So, T-8.
T-8, and I'm here today with Adrian. How are you today, Adrian?
Yes, hanging in there.
And today we have a special guest, Tiffany Smith from the Abroad Education podcast. How are you doing today, Tiffany?
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, you all.
Welcome from the UAE.
I know. Where it's beautiful and sunny. It's about 2 o'clock here. The sun will be setting in a couple of hours. So for those of you who are stuck in cloudy, cold, fallish places.
Yeah.
Beautiful. The most beautiful in the UAE.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. We have a Global Black Caucus leader or a chapter in the UAE also. And Eric Phillips is our Black Caucus leader there. And he loves it there. He thinks it's great. How's the UAE been for you, Tiffany?
The UAE is, I guess it's like, at this point, it's almost like my second home. I lived here. I was teaching in Abu Dhabi from 2013 to 2015. And then currently I'm a PhD student at the University of Minnesota. So I've come back to do my pilot study and now I'm here doing my data collection. I got a fellowship. So this time I'm in Ras Al Khaimah, which is a completely different experience from Dubai and Abu Dhabi. It's more of the family-oriented, community-oriented place. But the UAE is beautiful. Everything that you hear is true. It's safe. It's welcoming. It's plenty of teaching opportunities. Education is valued here, and it's valuable. A lot of money's being made off of education. So, but I love it. I love it here.
Wow. Yeah. Eric's a teacher also.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
A lot of black people are there teaching.
Good for you, Tiffany. Depending on what the election of the income, you may be in a position to welcome a whole bunch of new expats coming over there. What are the voting statistics? Like, this is...
Oh, wow. It's amazing. I'm a little bit blown away by this, that 61 million people have cast votes already. And that is actually maybe almost, that's a lot more than did so in 2016 at this time. We might actually have a blowout election as far as turnout goes in general. And there are 8 more days left to vote. So if you haven't cast your ballot yet, or you don't for some reason have a ballot, go to votefromabroad.org. And request your absentee ballot. If you have your ballot and for some reason you haven't voted, please send it back. The mail in the United States is not working well. So if you are in one of those states where you can send a ballot by fax or by email, please do it anyway, right away. I sent my ballot in September and I vote in Florida and I actually went up and checked and my vote has already been counted. So...
You know, there are, even if you live in Europe, mail isn't the best, depends on where you are. It's country by country. And if you're in the Asia Pacific region or the Americas, you know what the state of your mail system is. So consider investing in your ballot return if you must return it by mail. I know that there are some courier services that are offering discounts in different countries. You can look that up, Democrats Abroad. Can help you find those places.
Yes.
If you are waiting for your ballot and you think you asked for it to be sent by email, check your spam folder. If you know that you requested it to come by mail and didn't change that, you can go ahead and use a federal emergency write-in absentee ballot. All of these questions and alternatives can be explained to you in full one-on-one at our live voter help. Angela, that's still
right.
Going on.
Live voter help is still going on right down to the wire. So we'll have live voter help today, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. And I believe Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have live voter help also. So all the links are in the podcast show notes for the live voter help. for Vote From Abroad to get a FWAB. And if you're listening to this and you're in the United States and you don't know if you're registered, go to iwillvote.com and verify that you're registered. You can also find out where the drop boxes are, where you can cast your absentee ballot, and much more.
You can make a plan. The main thing is to make a voting plan. We've talked to some people. We had Carl Jr. from the Black Expats podcast say that one of his good friends in Georgia, a young woman, didn't feel safe voting alone, because we know voter suppression is a thing. We know voter intimidation is as well. So make your, as part of your voting plan, that you have a voting buddy. No need to go to the polls alone if you have to go to the polls, but vote early if you can. One thing that is a little disturbing coming from the New York Times, since mail ballots are a thing this year, even though for us absentee voters, they've always been a thing, and we're more used to being vigilant with our votes. For example, I track my ballot, and I know Angela does too, from the time I requested it to I received it to I turn it back in to they accept it. And accepted is actually means my vote will be cast. Accepted is when I know that my vote will be count. Received and accepted are two different things. Received means that they got your ballot. Accepted means that they have approved that you have submitted a valid vote. We know that some mail ballots, for example, in the state of Florida, the signatures didn't match. And so there's what they call a curing process. But that vote of election was working with Democrats abroad so that we can alert our voters to let them know that there was a problem with their signature, and there's a process you can get that figured out. Right. So if you can track your ballot online with your board of elections and they say that your ballot was rejected, call immediately and try to find out why. If it's signature problem, cure it. C-U-R-E, that's the term they use. See what you can do to get your signature cured. I would suggest calling them, because email.
Yeah, don't email.
Their email box is like mine or yours, Angela.
Yeah, don't email, because seriously, at this point, like, you know, there's a lot going on. A lot of states have early voting. They're also many states are still counting the absentee ballots as they come in, or at least organizing them. So they're really busy. And so maybe they won't be able to get to your email right away, but if you call, you know, they'll be able to help you. And again, you can always go to our voter help, or you can email if you just couldn't get in touch with your local election office. You can email voterprotection@democratsabroad.org. And they are experts at getting in touch with local election offices and getting them to help people. We see it every day. They do it. They've answered thousands and thousands of questions from people and help them be able to vote. So we have lots of people to help you.
Yeah, they live and breathe this. We do this all year round, but this is like the time that we're living for. And the number one reason that mail-in ballots were rejected in 2018 is because they were not received on time. Didn't we start off this saying, get your ballot in? Now, do not miss your deadline. Every state is different. Some are post the date that is postmarked. We can't go through all 56, you know, the states and the territories, but read the instructions and make sure. So again, invest in your ballot. Maybe you're living in a COVID lockdown place. You can't go out and have your Starbucks. That money that you've saved, use it for a courier service, right?
Yes. If you vote in a postal mail state, please use a courier service. Stop trying to think that the mail is going to get there. Louis DeJoy, whose name should be Louis Nojoy, has worked diligently this year to destroy our postal service, and he's done a great job at destroying it. So,
but don't destroy your own vote by not signing your ballot as well. So your ballot has to be signed. You know, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. You know, it's your responsibility to make sure that you send in a valid ballot, and then it's the election officials' responsibility to make sure that they count your vote. So do your part and be vigilant. Make sure you have a voting plan.
Yeah, and if you are sending a ballot back to a postal mail state, you need to put your ballot in a separate envelope so that it's not naked in an envelope. It's like one of those weird things, but your ballot needs to be in an envelope inside an envelope. Mm-hmm. And then any other paperwork goes in the outer envelope. So please, no naked ballots, because that in some states they accept it, in some states they don't. I would say in more states they don't than they do. Just take care of whatever you do. This election is so important. I know that there's like a whole thing that we're not supposed to shame people because they didn't vote in the last election, but shame on you. I don't really, at this point, I get it. Like, you thought that you didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, and oh my God, so how bad could Trump be? Well, he's a nightmare.
That's the people that chose not to vote are completely different group of people whose votes were suppressed. And
that's right. It is a different group.
If you sat on the sidelines, you know, I don't know what it would take to get you in right now. If you don't think that your vote matters, we know that it does. We know that in communities where people don't vote, you know, you don't have any representation. Nobody cares about what services that you need if you don't vote. You have to get to the polls. That is your power. If you sat out because you thought that it was a lock, that you knew who was going to win, don't get on the roller coaster this year. Vote. If you didn't vote because if you live abroad and you felt, oh, I'm so out of touch, I don't know what's going on, if you still carry a U.S. passport, you need to vote. I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't vote. And here's the thing. Everyone wants to focus on the White House. Well, what about your school board? What about your city council? What about your sheriff? What about your state representative, your governor? All these people have a much closer impact on your daily life or the daily lives of the people that you love than what's on in the White House. So it's not just one election. We're talking series of elections. And Angela, I don't know what was on your Florida ballot. Were there any other issues that you voted on, or were they just people?
There were, of course, judges. There were a couple of ballot issues, one of which is just a terrible ballot. I mean, okay, almost all of them. The first one was adding the right to vote to our Constitution, our Florida Constitution. But essentially, I voted no on this, and the primary reason I voted no was because they had a provision where only legal residents of Florida could vote, which, if you're overseas, you're no longer a resident of Florida. It's your home of record. So that's just a way to keep people like me who vote from abroad from actually voting. And they're not slick. I just hope it doesn't
pass. Tiffany, where do you vote, and what kind of things were on your ballot?
So I vote in Illinois. And very similar on the ballot, judges, you know, some judges or circuit court judges who were up for recommendation to keep their spots. Something about some tax going from 18% to 20%. Mm-hmm. It definitely, it wasn't school boards, it wasn't sheriffs, it wasn't anything like that. But I actually did. I took the time this year to actually research many of the people and, you know, see what their stances were publicly and look them up on Facebook. And
circuit court judges is important.
And they're in their 80s and they've been sitting in that same seat all these years. So.
Wow. That's important. And this isn't the first time you voted for from abroad, or is it?
No. And I have to be mindful and mention that right now, and this is the thing, I'm still in the UAE. I was intended to be here for 8 months, and I was supposed to be back in the States by May, but with COVID, my fellowship was extended, so I'm still here. But I'm going back to the States in December, so I'm not I'm not residing here. I'm still connected with Illinois. I'm a student at the University of Minnesota. So when I voted, I actually did an absentee ballot. We had this conversation in our podcast episode because I'm not abroad. Like, I'm not considered, the way I voted in 2012 is different from the way that I voted this time. Okay. So yeah, I voted previously, but right now it's just like an absentee, like a military overseas.
Because you're temporarily overseas, but you had a definite return, like intention to return.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, how did you know about voting in 2012? Where were you?
In 2012, I was in Morocco. I was teaching in Casablanca, Morocco for 2 years. And So when you live abroad, or at least, you know, teaching abroad, as soon as you leave, they ask you to sign up for this STEP program. Yeah. I'm forgetting it. I forget what it stands for.
It's the State Department something, and they keep you up to date with stuff that's going on.
Yeah. So I got all of the emails from them basically informing me about, you know, all of the process, you know, the websites, you know, do this, do that. And with Illinois, there's a website called Illinois, like move.illinois.gov or something like that. And I mean, everything that you all are saying as far as, you know, mail the ballot, did they receive it? You know, is it pending? All of this stuff, everything is there. And it never erases, like, all of the documents from every single time I've voted. It's still on this website.
Oh, wow.
But because in 2016, I was in the state, so I didn't vote from abroad, but much of the issues that we were just talking about, you all were talking about, I had to find all of that stuff now, you know, because I'm here right now. And I was like, oh, wow, all of these documents are still here. So, yeah, yeah.
Now, why, Angela, why, I'm going to ask Angela and I'm going to let Tiffany follow Angela, because Angela and I pretty much have the same reasons why we're voting for who we're voting for in the White House. But I want, Angela, can you, I want to let you say it again. Because why do we need to vote Trump out?
The primary reason that we need to vote Trump out is because he is a bad president. I don't even know what else to say. He's a bad president, but he's a bad person. And he never should have been the president of the United States. He has colluded with many governments, Russia, Saudi Arabia. His children, his daughter has gotten patents from China when other people can't even get close to the patent office. I would say also he's colluded with Israel and any number of things. As a person, as a former government employee who worked overseas, the things that he has done are grossly inappropriate. And if anyone who worked for the government actually even did part of the things that he did, if I, as a government employee, were to go and give information to a foreign government, I would have been fired, probably put in jail. All sorts of things. He is a liar. He is a thief. If you notice that his campaign, which has been pulling in money hand over fist, he doesn't have any campaign money. Where did it all go? I'm pretty sure he stole all that money.
Did he say he's out of campaign money?
Yes, he had to get an emergency. What is this old man? At Howard Adelson? No, is it Howard? I don't know. He's a rich person in the casino industry, and he just injected $75 million into his campaign because Trump was out of money. Like, how are you out of money? Like, really? Because he's funneled it all to his personal friends and family. And, you know, he's been putting people onto his, whenever somebody leaves the White House and he wants to keep them quiet, he's been giving them a campaign job. Omarosa went there, and a few other people like went there. I probably can Google it. And so they're all making 6-7 figure salaries.
Well, I completely forgot about Omarosa.
Yeah, no, she's a part of his campaign. And what she does, who knows?
Last I saw, she was crying when she got fired. But Tiffany, I'm assuming you're not voting for Trump. And of course, your vote can be secret, but why would you? Why do you think voting for president this year is important?
I'm just kidding.
wow.
You know, it's interesting because, and no, I'm about to say it's interesting, but I guess we're all in the same space with being abroad. One of the things that I realized about the presidential election, and I guess, I don't know, I'm going through this transition in my life. I'm 34, and I feel like for the first time, I am adulting. I've always seen myself as a child, not even a child, but just like this very nomadic, you know, living out of a suitcase a month here, a year here. So I've never felt like an adult. And now all of a sudden I'm feeling like an adult, and I'm reflecting on all of these things, especially with this presidential election. And what I realize is the amount of weight that we put on the election is one thing. And I realized that even, you know, with Trump, I've never seen, a broad, right? When I started living abroad, people would love, oh, Obama. Oh, you're from America? Obama. These beautiful smiles and this welcoming and, oh, I love Obama, you know? And then when Trump came in, it was like, you see like the global spirit impacted by the presidential election, right? And in my mind, before I started adulting, it was just like, oh, that's interesting. You know? Yeah. But now as an adult, I'm like, wow, I thought the president's role didn't have as much clout as it does. But then when you see the globe responding in a way to someone's, it's a character judgment, right? And this person's character is impacting the world and the worlds that I'm entering. When I say I'm American in some places, it's not a good thing. And clearly, I mean, we see that with many of the countries shutting their borders down, like, yeah, we're not dealing with Americans right now. You just say exactly where you are. So I'm voting because when I think about, you know, even filling out the ballot, when I think about the people who I want representing me, the people who I want representing my family, it's a character judgment to the sense of, even if he wasn't president, we most likely wouldn't be friends. I don't feel like I have to belittle and berate him, you know, but he is not a person that I would want representing me. Now, the issue, I don't know if I can, you know, give the opposite to that statement to my Democratic brothers and sisters either, but it's almost like, I guess my grandpa said it the best, you just have to pick the best in what you have, right? This I don't think Obama's mantra of hope has died. I was actually connecting it to the spiritual. I have it here. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So we just have to have faith in our presidential election and just knowing that everything is going to be how it should be. It's a learning experience for all of us and just hoping that it gets better, especially on the global space.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said, because I lived in Angela's had a similar experience. I lived in Brussels during the Bush years and people would come up to me aggressively, you for or against the war, you know, when we invaded Iraq, and you know, people were like hostile. And then, you know, moved to Sweden in the, when Obama was here for when Obama got elected, people would come up to the street and high five you. And, you know, people were just so happy. Like you say, you know, like it was cool to be American again. And then we have what we happened in 2016. I was living in England when that happened and people were just like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry. You know, and this was before his term even got underway. And it was like on the wave of, you know, then Brexit and, you know, right-wing extremism increasing in Europe. And it's like, it's been like a nightmare. And then to see systematically pull out of this agreement, you know, close down this agency, you know, reverse this Obama order. And, you know, it's been demoralizing. And I see it as a personal attack on Black people and women and, our elderly and, for all things decent, basically. And I don't know if that's too big of an exaggeration.
No,
but I do
it's not.
Feel like, yeah, we're fighting for the soul of our country. Yeah.
All things decent. I am not a Trump supporter. I'm not a fan of Trump. I never have been. I have disliked him from almost when, since I remember there was this TV show when I was in, I don't know, high school or something like this. It was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
I remember that.
And it had this weird man, Robin Leach, who the name fit Leach, because he was definitely leeching off of rich people. But there was an episode that might have been the last episode I ever watched of that show, because I've never been a materialistic person, like interested in, you know, seeing how rich people live. I don't care. It doesn't interest me. But there was an episode where they showed his apartment in Trump Tower and he had a gold-plated toilet. And I was just like, I don't even
talk about that, but that was real.
That was real. It's not fake. That was real. So you've got something wrong with you. Like, really. what a gold-plated toilet, would that help something? You know, like, I don't know. But it seemed extreme. It just seemed an extreme. And the fact that we've gone on, I mean, the fact that so many women have credibly accused him of rape, including his ex-wife.
And I just want to bring back to why it's important to vote for not just who's going to be at the top of the ballot from bottom up, but also why, even when, you know, we've got to take back the Senate, we've got to take back the Senate, and we've got to hold the House of Representatives, because nothing gets done. Nothing has been getting done. But was another really sad, when I first talked to Angela this morning for our little pre-podcast talk, she was so down. And I was like, what's wrong, baby? She's like, well, because the Senate confirms Barrett to the Supreme Court. And if people don't realize why the Supreme Court is so important, headline today in the Washington Post, the current Supreme Court rejects the request to extend Wisconsin's deadline for counting mail-in ballots in a vote for 5-3. Where was Justice Ginsburg? You know, it may have been 5-4, but they don't want us to count ballots. Didn't they stop us from counting ballots in Florida?
They stopped the ballot count, and Al Gore won.
And let me tell you this, Angela, over 70% of the voters who plan to vote by mail for the first time, and that's this year because of COVID, they identify as Democrats. 71% of first-time voters that are Democrats plan to vote by mail. So in Wisconsin, they don't want to count, but they don't want to extend. Here is a voting election body saying, we need more time. We want to count everybody's votes. The Supreme Court says no. So that's why, and we also know that 5 out of the 9 Supreme Court justices have been appointed by presidents who lost the popular vote. So that's what kind of representation do we have? This isn't who the people picking these justices.
One other statistic that is very interesting, that the majority of the Supreme Court judges are Catholic, and the majority of people in the United States are not Catholic. So
not even sure Christian anymore.
It's not that they have a religious preference, is that we seem to be favoring on one religion. And I don't know why. It's like, I think our Supreme Court, as far as, and also our Congress, should reflect the people in the United States. Not just that they are people, but that they share our same values, or that they look like us, at least, or something. And that the Supreme Court, that is a place that is a rarefied air. Like, it's a, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, is it too late to hope for a Black woman on the Supreme Court?
You know,
and why that would even matter?
I would like that, but here's the thing. When they replaced Thurgood Marshall, they replaced him with Clarence Thomas.
Bush.
Yes, Bush. But with Clarence Thomas, which is like a slap to the face of every person who respected Thurgood Marshall and all the good that he did. You replaced him with this, you know, a Black man, which is just, that's insulting too. Like, all Black people aren't the same. You know, you just pick some generic Black person in quotes. And then you're like.
And kinfolk.
Yeah, exactly. And so he is a person that, I mean, if you recall, or if people recall or have heard about the Anita Hill testimony, and she said that he would say things like, there's a pubic hair on my can of my Coke can. Where did that come from? Or ask her to watch porno with him.
But so what that illustrates is that presidents matter. Presidents get to make Supreme Court nominees. Holding the Senate matters. I'm not hoping for any current justice to die, but we need to have new leadership in the White House so that when these federal and Supreme Court justice positions come up, we have people who, I mean, I'm a proud Democrat. It's made up of people who are imperfect, but I'm the part, you know, we're the party of Social Security. You know, we're the party of affirmative action. We're the party of, you know, signing in the law, equal pay for women. You know, we're the party that signed Obamacare. You know, so it matters. So I think it would be great to have a Black woman in this.
Yes, it would. It would, but it needs to be a Black woman that reflects the values of the majority of Black women, not just some random, not Omarosa, okay? Like, you know,
That's why we need a Democratic president. It's just, you know, it's as simple as that. Unfortunately, the people don't get to put up who we want. You know, we had Clinton that brought in Bader Ginsburg. You know, we had Obama that brought in Sotomayor from the Latino community. So that's why people need to think about, oh, it doesn't matter who's president. They do the same thing. Well, it does matter.
And now we have Amy Coney Barrett, who is replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Again, another slap in the face of women, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg has fought for her whole life. She fought to go to law school because women weren't even allowed in law school, in some law schools at the time. And she's fought for women's rights, their ability for equal pay, for equal representation under the law. And then you have, like, I read somewhere that we shouldn't call her the handmaid. We should call her Serena Joy. I don't know if either one of you have seen The Handmaid's Tale or read the book. Well, you should check it out. It's a TV show now, and I think it's in its third or fourth season this year. There's also a sequel to the original book. It's really good. But
another reason to vote for Democrats is because we believe in sensible gun laws. And right now I'm reading in Michigan, many Americans will be able to show up at their polling local locations with guns, something that has unnerved law enforcement officials and experts nationwide.
See, this is crazy. They can't count the ballots, but we can bring our guns to the polls to intimidate people. Well, that's great. You know,
In your experience, has that been one of the things that have guffawed people about America because they don't understand our gun laws?
Oh, you know, that's an interesting question. A young woman from Cameroon asked me the other day how easy it is to get a gun. And I'm like, well, where is this question coming from?
Yeah, okay.
But recently there was a pastor. No, maybe she's from Ghana. I'm sorry. There's a pastor who killed his wife and she was in the States. Both of them were in the States and she was asking how easy it is, like almost like guns are laying on the street. But, you know, I said, well, for some folks, it is easier to get a gun than a job. So there's some parts of it that is true, but everybody's not walking around. I don't know.
Honestly, if I lived in the United States, I would have an arsenal. But that's just me. I'm a little bit not paranoid. It's just that, you know, when you have all these people and they're like, our rights and this and that, and, you know, take back our country and blah, blah, blah. I the only thing they understand is firepower. And I'm just glad I don't have to be in a place where people are behaving like this. I love America, but, you know, my life would definitely be different if I lived.
Well, you know, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I never knew anyone who owned a gun. And, you know, maybe they did and I didn't see it. And that would be part of responsible gun ownership. Why the heck do I even know that you have a gun? You know, guns are, with the exception, I take that back, of my Marine Corps officer husband who did have a handgun, who did have it locked away with ammunition in a separate place, who did. But the average person, you know, I don't know, but I just, the fact that voter intimidation is real, the thought of people showing up with guns, you know, that's, but hey, I hope Black people are showing up with guns as well. You know, way that we can definitely make sure that we get sensible gun laws passes if every Black person in every state that could carry a gun did so visibly where it was allowed. You know, when the Black Panthers showed up with guns, all of a sudden, you know, it was a problem. But I also wonder what you all think about these so-called patriot churches. In just 4 years, the president has helped reshape the landscape of American Christianity by elevating Christians once considered fringe, including Messianic Jews, preachers of the prosperity gospel, and self-side prophets. Well, we know, you know, that they used to quote the Bible to justify slavery. But now, you mentioned six well, I don't know how many, but you said so many Catholic Supreme Court justices. What is Christianity going to, what role is that going to play in our elections, you think?
I'll let Tiffany answer that because you don't want to hear my answer, I don't think. I'm too harsh on Christians.
Angela, I'm going to pass the mic back to you.
Okay.
I'll take it because I think it's going to play a huge part in the Black community because we're going to help turn out the vote, which the Black church has always helped turn out the vote. And I hope that even though churches are closed to meet in person, I know I kind of have two churches, one African-American and one mixed. They're both have been meeting online. We are praying for Democrats to turn out in record numbers. We're praying for people to be able to vote safely. We're praying for the leaders that we have to act responsibly. But I think that churches always have had a part of shaping the moral fabric. Now, you know, some are amoral and some are not, but I do hope that the Black church will be able to stand in this hard, fast tradition to turn out the Black vote. And in that sense, even help people make a voting plan, help people get to the polls. They need to get to the polls doing voter registration, encouraging people to be civic minded. So I hope the Black community and the Black church shows up and shows out like never before.
Yeah, I hope they do too. I hope everybody turns out. Again, votefromabroad.org. If you're living overseas, iwillvote.com. If you are living in the United States, take action, act now. There are only 8 days left to vote. And
T-8.
This is so important. And I've been working on this moment for the past 3.5 or more years. Actually, it's almost more than 3 years. And I just want people to vote and take action because this can't stand. There's nothing good about Donald Trump. There's nothing good about all the people that he has on his cabinet. The Secretary of Labor hates employees and wants to crush any rights they have. The Secretary of Education wants everyone to be ignorant. The Secretary of Energy wants to drill everything. They just opened up the Arctic. And in fact, they're opening up our wildlife preserves. There's a wildlife preserve that's, I think it's in Utah. And they're basically gonna, it's a place where they've been able to recover the wolf population. They're just going to kill all the animals so that they can drill.
Here's one thing I'm going to, I think that's a good news story because we know November's now, you only have 8 days before you can get your ballot in, whether you do it by mail, couriered in now, if you do it by email, if you do it by fax, if you don't have your ballot already, and you live overseas and you registered to vote from abroad, that provided you access to the federal postcard application, which is your federal guaranteed right to use the backup or emergency ballot. Get that in now. Amid the pandemic, Black voters turn out in record numbers in Maryland, citing a history of voter suppression. They brought folding chairs, determination, and family stories of voter suppression. One came with a sprained ankle, another skipped a morning's work. Several had lost family members to the coronavirus pandemic, but still risked their own health to inject confidence into an electoral system they distrusted. So if you are disenfranchised, dismayed, don't believe your vote matters, remember we're standing on the legacy of people like John Lewis and the suffragettes, the African-American suffragettes that were out there on the front lines 100 years ago, guaranteeing the right to vote for American women, who even when we couldn't vote, our vote is something that we can, it's not ours to not use or to throw away. So feel bolstered by the fact that your vote matters. Feel bolstered by the fact that you are the influencer. You're the star in your little circle. You don't have to be Beyonce with 500 million followers on Instagram. You have people that look to you and respect you. We know if you ask your friends to vote, they're more likely to vote. So make a voting plan, encourage people to vote with you. Be like me and Angela and Tiffany and vote wherever you are in the world. There's an astronaut voting from the space station this year, people.
That's right.
Yeah. Make sure you vote from wherever you are. Angela, if they need help as Voters from Abroad. Can you remind them where they can get that? I can never remember.
That's right. You can go to our voter help. It is Tuesdays, Thursdays, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all day Sunday. And we'll be having help on Monday and Tuesday of the second and third. So there's no reason
abroad, to wait. Angela is one of our leaders of Democrats Abroad that is organizing election watch parties. If you're abroad, can you invite them to?
Yeah, I can put the link in the thing.
But when is it? It's called a waiting room, or how did you tag it?
It's an election waiting room. I just a place for people to come and be together. And when, you know, it's not going to be like a show or anything. And we're not, if you want to talk, if you want to watch the news, if you want to do whatever, just to be with other people. That was one of the things about the election last year is that, I mean, not last year, in 2016, I didn't have any place to like go to and commiserate. Hopefully we'll be celebrating, but not commiserating. So let's just go, let's just move away from voting for a minute. And let's talk to our guest about what she's doing. Because she is an interesting woman, Tiffany. your podcast is Abroad Education. I love that title. when did you start it, and what made you start this podcast?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for a little spotlight. it's Abroad in Education. Emphasis on the A, pun intended. Abroad in Education was started in 2018, so it's been going for 2 years now. And what I realized, and things have changed drastically since then, but what I've realized is that conversations about teaching abroad, conversations about study abroad, oftentimes just silences the experiences of Black and Brown folks, you know, folks of color. So when it came to trying to explain my experience, not only to professors and students, but just, you know, folks that I'm talking to, the only idea that people had in their mind was Peace Corps and military. So Abroad in Education came as an opportunity to hand the mic to, right now, I would say majority American women who have engaged in international travel, teaching abroad, study abroad, internships, and just a space for them to unpack their experiences.
Wow. Sounds really great. And after the election, I listened to a couple of episodes, but after the election, I want to go through the whole thing and listen to it. I have a lot of plans for after the election of all the things that I've missed for the past year.
I know.
Wow. So you've been, you had us on a little while ago, and I really appreciate you sharing our message with your audience. How often do you do this podcast? Is it once a week or once a month, or just when you find an interesting topic?
Well, that's the thing. I feel like I am a non-traditional podcaster because my podcast started out kind of as a research project. And literally 2 years ago, podcasting was not what it is now. I mean, just in the short time span, it was like, you know, couple thousand podcasts. Now there's millions. People are making, it's a billion-dollar industry with ads and all these things. So for me, being a student, a PhD student, you know, talking about fascinating things, still traveling, it is a bi-weekly podcast, but I have to be honest and say the bi-weekly got put to the wayside just for a little bit.
I understand.
But yeah, one of the interesting things that I want to discuss as soon is relationships abroad. And before we started recording, that was one of the things that we were talking about, just ideas and topics that make people look at, you know, things that we see as normal in a different way. So I look forward to reaching out to folks to, like, you know, understand their experience. What is it like being a wife in another country, or divorced, or dating, or all those fun things? So yeah.
Let me ask you, I know you can't predict the future, but what do you think or feel you're going to miss most about living in the UAE when you do repatriate?
Well, I don't know if I'm repatriating. That's the thing. I'll graduate in May, and God's will, I feel like I'll be back abroad. I'm job searching. So it will
be. What are you looking for?
Employment, period.
PhD, and what will your PhD be in, and do you want to find employment abroad directly related to your PhD, to your doctorate?
So my program is organizational leadership, policy and development. My background is in teaching. I have over a decade of experience in domestic and international teaching. In my mind, I would love to continue to work with K through 12 schools. I don't quite know if there is space. There's a lot of diversity, equity, inclusion, director positions that are coming up. That would be amazing for me. I don't know if it's gotten into the international space though. I see it in the States, in companies, not even just education. I am open. I don't want to box myself because I do want to continue to feed my global citizenship. I do want to continue to see the world. I think I've worn out my welcome in the UAE. It would be nice to come over to Sweden and Germany.
You better buy those flannel leggings.
Yeah, it's not warm and pretty there here.
Actually, it is actually very pretty in the summer and
like a minute. And then,
I'm not gonna because that's the, you know what, maybe I shouldn't talk about how good it is because it's kind of like a lot of people ignore Scandinavia, and then when they come, they're like, wow, why have I not been here before? And tons of German tourists, at least where we are on the West Coast, because they love our nature. And Sweden has very beautiful nature, very beautiful sandy beaches, at least where I am on the West Coast in the Stockholm area, archipelago on the West Coast as well. We kind of have it kind of good, you know, but you don't move to Sweden because you want tropical weather. You know, if you like to sail, if you like to ski, the summers are short but intense. We have tons of daylight hours in the summer that make up for the shorter in the winter. I did see some little snow, something in Stockholm, but like I say, I'm on the West Coast. It's warmer.
You're not selling it. You almost had her. You almost had her. And you're because like, I see snow.
In other cities, but not where I am. But yeah. That's just like me living in the States. There's snow right now in the States as well. And I talked to people 2 weeks ago that were like, had snow in Michigan. So, you know, the States is a big place. Sweden is not a fraction of that size. So you can't really talk about Sweden and say it's the same all over, because thank goodness it's not. It's not like living in Singapore, which is a city state, and you pretty much know what you get. Mm-hmm. So we do have varied wildlife. You're more than welcome to come visit post-COVID. I'm raiding Angela post-COVID, whether she invites me or not.
Since I don't have to invite you, you're just going to show up. I don't need to invite you. That's perfectly fine. Tiffany, I had a question. Your research focuses on African-American expats and their decisions to migrate. Is that
somewhat? Yeah, it's very close. I'm actually looking at African-American teachers, K-12 teachers. So it is a lens of teacher attrition and trying to understand what are some of the factors that impacted their decision to leave the system, K-12 system, to come and teach here in the UAE.
Have you ever heard of this project called We Global? It's run out of the University of Michigan.
Yes, Deborah Robinson.
Deborah Robinson.
Of my podcast episodes. Yeah, she did.
That's really great. We're a partner with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're one of the partners for.
Yes, Dr. Deborah Robinson. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, small world.
And that's the thing. So, and that's one of the other things that I've noticed about, I mean, I'll say podcasting, but just, you know, conversations about African Americans abroad. In 2018, when I started, I mean, even with travel, you had the nomadness, you had travel noir, and maybe that was it. But then when the traction started, you know, now there's so many African-American, you know, expat chats and foreign in the flourish and, you know, abroad in education and all of these, the Black expat, like a lot of people are talking about African-Americans abroad. And thank you. I have to say, thank the Lord. It's not a lot of people who are looking at it through a lens of education, because essentially a lot of folks are interested in this entrepreneur life where I can be a digital nomad, a, you know, digital fill in the blank, but international education is a $54 billion industry. The international school market is selling education in ways that, I mean, there's opportunity, and then there's also folks who are willing to take advantage of the opportunity. But what happens is, not only are you here because you're trained and you speak a particular language, it's you get to reinvent yourself a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful opportunity that folks are taking advantage of. And, you know, I'm here with a microphone, putting it in front of people like, so what's your story? And it's so interesting. So interesting.
Wow. Yeah. I'm beginning to, or I have discovered that a lot of African Americans are educators that are coming abroad. I've met so many in the course of these past few years, especially in the Middle East and mm-hmm. also in Asia, China. There's a big market for educators also there on an international sort of international school basis.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like our audience to know about you that we haven't asked you that maybe you would feel that you would like to share some deep secret?
Well, you all know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, see, it was coming. She was going to do it, but no, it's okay. You don't have to tell us your secrets.
Right. Well, it's interesting because as a podcaster, I'm so used to being the, I'll say, host moderator that I'm just getting used to being interviewed. So I would say maybe this is the second or third time that I have been interviewed. So I just have to thank you all for caring about my privilege to vote and the fact that I voted and that I was responsible this year. So yeah, I just appreciate the time and, you know, me being able to sit and talk with you all and yeah, encouraging other folks to do it. Go and vote, you all. It is necessary. And it's also a privilege, and take advantage of it, because if one more person from the UAE tells me about my ballot, I'm like, look, this ain't even your country.
Right? Yes, but the thing is it's is that we're bye, sweetheart. Okay, sorry to put that in the broadcast. My husband is going off to have some dental surgery.
Bye-bye. And
I can't come with him, which sucks, because of COVID has spiked up again. So you can only come to any appointment, like a doctor's appointment, by yourself now. So hopefully he'll be all right. We'll let you know tomorrow. stay tuned. Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for coming on with us.
Thank you.
I am voting is your right, and everyone should use it. Our ancestors fought for this right.
Amen.
And we cannot just not do it. You know, it's very important. VoteFromAbroad.org, IWillVote.com. And there are 8 more days to vote. Don't let it pass you by, because who knows? Maybe there won't be another election in 2022. Anyway, y'all, have a great day, and thank you, Tiffany, and thank you, Adrian, and
hey, Dome.
Was that a Swedish thing you just said?
That's how you say goodbye. Hey, San. Hello. Hey, Dome. Goodbye.
Hey, okay. Well. okay. Fine. So I'll say auf Wiedersehen und bis gleich, which is see you later. See you again. And till the next time. And we'll be back tomorrow to continue our countdown to the election, because there's only 8 more days to go to vote. Please vote. I hope you can hear the sadness in my voice. Please vote. All right, ladies, we're out.